Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Previously on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast.
Is the Rugby World Cup ball more bulbous than normal balls?
Mimica Gorgadra is so popular that even if Beyonce walked in and started handing out £50 notes...
You can lust after any woman, but you can only truly love the game of rugby.
Here we go then with another Rugby World Cup Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with me, Tim, with JB.
Hello, Tim.
And with Phil.
Hi, Tim.
We've just watched France-Romania. We've watched Japan. Poor Japan. The brave Blossoms come unstuck against Scotland. And what was the other game? Oh, Australia-Fiji. And also there's been some rumours flying around about the England squad. We're going to get into that in a minute ahead of the big match against Wales this weekend. And we've got some stories to share from Worldwide Rugby Moments, and I'll tell you more on that if you would like to be there in Twickenham to see Australia against Wales in a couple of weeks' time. But let's get straight into today's action then. We're recording this on Wednesday night, having seen the rugby from today, and let's start where it started today with Scotland and Japan. And our favourite team from the World Cup, Japan, came royally unstuck after a good first half, got thumped by the Scots.
Did you watch the game?
I did, yeah.
I didn't. I was in work, unfortunately. It was 2:30 kickoff.
I was watching it in work, and I was getting very, very excited. But then the ultimate disappointment. It almost felt like Wales had lost. In fact, it might have felt a little worse than if Wales had lost. I'm used to taking that pain.
Once again, Japan did what Japan do, which is just run hard, run straight. I love their angles of running. I love the pace that they run at. They bring it, but couldn't maintain it for 80 on this occasion.
Well, do you know what Eddie Jones calls it? Ruck and run. Or run and ruck. One of the two. Meaning that they're going to ruck very, very quickly and run very, very fast. What struck me about this game was, again, how very good Japan's set piece was. I think not until deep into the second half did they lose a single line-out, so they had 100% line-out success.
Yeah.
But also, they're a team which is greater than the sum of their parts.
Yeah.
I think this started to really become apparent when, towards the end, Scotland were breaking the line, and like you've got Stuart Hogg in the open, and he's very, very hard to catch. And they just didn't have that last bit of athleticism, that last bit of individual quality, really, to rein them in.
We should definitely give Scotland some credit, and Joseph Rivers has tweeted us. He's at Rugby Podcast, you can get in touch with us. And he said, Scotland decided to turn up on the only day no one but Scots wanted them to. It's true.
Yeah,
every neutral was a Japanese fan after that famous victory against South Africa. Glenn also on Twitter, and it's, as I say, at Rugby Podcast, you can tweet your thoughts during the World Cup, and like I say, they will get a mention, like Glenn's is now. He says, Clive Tildesley commentating Scotland v Japan, WTF.
I think he's doing a wonderful job, actually. I think Tildesley sounds quite good doing the...
Football commentator Clive Tildesley.
Doing the rugby? I think he sounds all right.
He sounded okay.
Was he knowledgeable? Because that normally gives it away.
Well, I mean, they usually do it in pairs, don't they? So one has just to describe what's happening. Like, he got tackled, he put the ball on the floor, he kicked,
It was that kind of description. There wasn't the sort of empathy for the game that you get with a rugby guy.
Yeah, but that's why you get the colour guy to give all the details. Oh, yeah. I actually thought Tilsey was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Question about Scotland. I got asked a question by a couple of my Scottish colleagues as to what the Japan win meant for the group. And my response was, I actually think it's great news for Scotland because I think Scotland have now got a real chance of winning that group.
Yeah.
I previously picked them second. I would have put them behind South Africa. But now I genuinely, on the back of that performance, on what we've seen pre-tournament, and on the back of South Africa's performance, I think Scotland have got a real chance of coming.
Let's not forget England reached a World Cup final after getting thumped in their opening game.
Absolutely.
With a dreadful performance. So I still wouldn't write off South Africa by a long stretch.
No. But that Scotland 15 is quite good now.
Previously, I would have given Scotland virtually no chance of beating South Africa.
Yeah.
I think they've got a real chance because they've got a good solid pack and they've got some real dangerous straight runners.
I could not agree more.
What about Australia-Fiji then, moving on to the second game of the day? What did we learn about...
Whoa. Just before you do that, two more things about the Japan game. Sorry. Did anyone, this is important to me, did anyone see the half-time, just after half-time, they showed a clip of Gavin Hastings going in for a try and getting bumped by the Japanese covering winger?
Didn't see that.
Well, two things were really interesting, OK? So, in the first half, a Scottish winger's going in and Guru Murray comes across, makes a tackle, beautiful. The same clip, basically, for Gavin Hastings, but the Japanese winger weighed 11 and a half stone. And also, the tackle isn't even a tackle. It's like
a shoulder charge.
A straightforward shoulder bump. Which actually cost Wales a win in South Africa. And actually, if you saw that shoulder bump now...
talking about Scotland v Japan and he managed to have a whinge about Wales.
An excuse why Wales didn't win.
Well,
I'm now going to move the conversation on to Australia-Fiji. What did we learn about England's opponent, the final team in Pool A to play Australia, didn't manage to get a bonus point? That could be crucial.
No, and if they hadn't have scored those two driving maul tries, this would have been a completely different game because the stats are generally in Fiji's favour. It was a bit of a game of two halves. Australia were far stronger in the first half, but Fiji in the second half looked awesome. They had more territory, more possession, more defenders beaten, more clean breaks. And I thought Australia, given those two tries, were a little bit lucky to not be closer in the later stages.
Well, Eddie Stevens pointed out on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, like I say, maybe the Aussies were taking it too lightly because he said, anyone else notice Will Skelton laughing like a madman at the end of the national anthem? I didn't know that, but I'm going to go back and have a look at it myself. But that's just Will Skelton, he's unpredictable as ever, isn't he?
Nothing at all makes me feel confident about this game. I don't know if the Australians are holding back. I don't know if the Fijians are a lot better. I mean, I think the Fijians are going to beat Wales.
I know the Aussies weren't holding back. No way.
No, they couldn't afford to.
No way.
Are they not the most arrogant team in world rugby, though?
They weren't holding back.
I mean, they've all got sleeve tattoos. They've all got slicked up hair or slicked back hair. You know, there's something about them.
The gulf wasn't as big as you'd expect it to be.
No.
Fiji looked very good all round. The Australian defence, however, in the face of that Fijian attack, which was a bit more expansive than it was against England, the Australian defence was very good.
How was the Fijian scrimmaging? How was the Australian scrimmaging?
Solid. Both.
Yeah, it was decent. Both were decent.
Both decent,
and
yeah.
England didn't totally have their way with Fiji the other night. So,
Far from it. So, I think they lost two of their own scrums.
In fact, scrummaging in general across the board in the World Cup, you saw Romania play tonight against France. You saw Japan and Scotland and Australia and Fiji. Every team that's played today and every team in the World Cup, I'd go so far as saying, scrummaging is massively improved from previous World Cups, where that's been a real area of dominance of the better teams.
Well, I believe it is to do with the pre-engagement. So crouch, bind, set, so you don't have that hit.
But we're also seeing that the Tier 2 teams are better drilled, better organised.
Oh,
they're fitter, they're stronger than they've ever been.
So absolutely.
That has an impact.
I agree with you about that, but I think that's got more... That Phil just said has got more, had more of a difference between this and the last World Cup.
And it seems to be every prop in France is not French. They are Georgian, they are Romanian.
Yeah.
Not Fijian, actually. Who's the other team?
Samoa, Tonga, yeah. they've got boys over there.
Even the people in the French team aren't originally French.
No, little Weenie.
Yeah, Weenie Antonio.
And Debatty is Belgian.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And France, it was a pretty... I was quite impressed with Romania. France, like you might have imagined, sort of stretched away with 20 minutes to go. But every single team, maybe with the exception of Canada, has shown what they can do. Hopefully we see more from Canada in their next game.
Yeah, Canada have been the most disappointing so far. Romania looked great. Those two tries that they conceded in the first half were when their tight head prop was in the bin.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ran out of fitness at the end, as you would expect against a proper tier one nation like France.
Something we've talked about before, and I think off the back of this World Cup, world rugby, and everyone has to take a bigger picture approach and think about the Six Nations as a two-league structure with promotion and relegation.
We were talking exactly about this before you showed up today, and we were saying, like, we need to see more of Romania, we need to see more of Georgia, we need to see more of all these teams on a consistent basis.
Yeah,
and you could have the same with the Pacific Nations and the Quad Nations, whatever it is, the Rugby Championship.
Well, I think now the two countries which are going to pull away from the rest of the pack are going to be Japan and maybe in a few years USA.
Yeah.
And the reason for this is there's just no money in touring in Romania. And I mean, what kind of numbers and figures are you going to pull in if you're the Australian Rugby Union going to Georgia and then Romania?
There's a lot of people in Japan and USA.
Exactly.
Lots of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to be the big difference. Yeah.
Please, World Rugby, if any old fart in suits listens, please just consider.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they'll reevaluate their worldview immediately.
Yeah.
They'll put aside everything that they've been working for the last 30 years and just go with that.
Now, it will be interesting. So we're talking about the benefit that playing in the Pacific Nations Cup has Japan, and the Tier 2 European competition has Romania and Georgia. Now, tomorrow, the game, New Zealand versus Namibia, the highest ranked and lowest ranked teams.
Mm.
Not only that, but Namibia don't play in a competition in Africa that's anywhere near like what?
No, they don't, do they?
The European and the Pacific equivalent is. So I've got a feeling this could be a little bit of a bloodbath.
As long as Milner Scudder brings his hands, not his feet.
For your fantasy team.
My fantasy team, we could be in business.
Where do Namibia play in their day-to-day life?
Oh, just everywhere. They played against Madagascar.
Do they? Oh, they do. You're right.
They played again. That's boring compared to some of the things we could talk about.
Okay, let's talk about some interesting things.
The fixture list of Namibia. Now, we don't know at this point. We're recording this on Wednesday night, but the rumours came out this morning. It might be yesterday morning as you listen to it, and even by the time you listen to this, the England team may well have been announced by Stuart Lancaster. What we're hearing and what we understand is that Owen Farrell's in for George Ford. Jonathan Joseph is out with an injury, which could also keep him out of the Australia game. And in his place, Sam Burgess comes in inside centre, moving Brad Barrett to outside centre. Phil, what was your reaction when you heard that?
My reaction was, it's not what I would do. With the information available to me, I would have put Slade at 13. He's started there most of the season for Exeter. He's a very accomplished all-round ball player going forward. He can kick, his tackling is very good, but I'm not party to all the information that the RFU coaches are, and they've had a lot longer to analyse Sam Burgess, and there's some very intelligent guys in that coaching setup, including international centres Mike Catt, who's one of the most intelligent centres who's ever played the game. And so I would personally trust their judgment on this. They've seen enough game tape. And let me just remind you that the last game that we saw of Sam Burgess where he had any meaningful time on the pitch was against France.
He was
very, very good.
Yeah,
as an inside centre.
As an inside centre, he did everything that was asked of him, and the defensive line operated well, and he released the outside centre and the wingers when he had the opportunity.
Yeah.
I find it odd. I mean,
firstly, can I just stop? Right,
of course.
The oddest thing about this is, and the most disappointing thing about this is, Jonathan Joseph goes out, and exactly what we've talked about on the podcast for about 2 or 3 months, maybe even a year or 2 years, is if Jonathan Joseph goes out, you don't put Brad Barrett at outside centre. You have someone like Kyle Eastman who you compare, so you still have someone with that footwork and pace.
Only they had a guy who could replace him at 13, who'd already beaten Wales twice. Oh, they do. And they left him at home.
Big Luth.
That should be his shirt.
Yeah.
But it's not. So
yeah, I hear you. Either Eastman or Burrell, either one guy who replaces the footwork and speed of Jonathan Joseph, or someone who replaces the outside centre pedigree of Jonathan Joseph, but you've got two 12s in the centre. Now, what I will say is... Oh, sorry, go on, JB, because I talked over you.
Yeah.
Go on.
So It's weird, isn't it? I'm kind of cautiously optimistic. On one hand, I quite respect Lancaster saying, I'm going to go all out and go in this direction.
Right, Phil, can we just make sure we get a little clip that little bit there so we can replay that when we want?
The time down, Tim.
Yeah, I kind of respect Stuart Lancaster.
I like extremes. For instance, I like massive back rows and ultra-quick backs. But if you're going to go the other way around, have massive backs and an ultra-quick back row, that's absolutely fine. Now... I just don't really get it. So Stuart Lancaster woke up and he looks at the Welsh team and he goes, they've got all these injuries. We could have any game plan we want. Like, we could, you know, only concede penalties in Lehoff, Penny, extreme territory, known that they can't kick. Or they could do anything that they wanted to exploit the Welsh situation. But instead, they decide to pick a team to play Wales at the only remaining strength that they actually have left, which is an arm wrestle with Jamie Roberts. And he's got 70-odd caps. Sam's got 1.5.
Or, I
don't get it.
Are they shutting down the only real avenue Wales have?
Well, you could say that, but it's not the only real avenue, is it? I mean, if we're looking to shorten the field and tie in men by committing men to Jamie Roberts, you've still got George North, you've still got Liam Williams. And by the way, can I just say, Scott Williams is a phenomenal talent. And out of all those four centres, he's by far the best ball player. And I'd be very worried about Brad Barrett in that outside centre channel.
What I would say is, well, actually, the team hasn't been announced, but this could be happening, that he is going to start in a World Cup match against Wales that we have had in the calendar for months as a massive day. This could be the crowning of one of the greatest moments we've had.
Or it could be the death of a career. I don't know. And that's why I kind of like it.
It wouldn't be the death of Sam Burgess's career, though.
Oh, no. It'll be the death of a man whose career has already far outshone its potential. Right. I don't know.
Well, here's a little sample of some of the reaction, because we asked on Twitter. We said, right, the rumour is it's... Well, we haven't even talked about Owen Farrell over George Ford.
Oh, yeah. So, Owen Farrell has come into the squad, and Owen Farrell is a fine player in many ways. Good goal kicker, reasonable distributor, and he can tackle. I'm not saying he can't tackle, but he's come in, and all of a sudden the press are talking about him like he's some defensive fulcrum. He's a good tackler, but he's not a world-class defender.
He's more than that.
He is a very good tackler.
Very good tackler.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is it not a bit negative?
From... that the way you're...
We haven't seen the selection yet, so this whole conversation could be redundant,
yeah,
potentially.
Yeah, but it's fun, isn't it?
It is fun.
It's come from the Telegraph. And
the Times.
They do normally seem to have a man in the camp, so they normally announce stuff hours before or even days before like this, and it's normally right.
So, I mean, Ford is a man who has beaten Wales twice, can tackle, and he's a bigger body than Ford. But is he the world-class tackler that they're making him out to be?
No, he doesn't need to be.
No.
He's got the right men around him. It's never about... Defensively, it's never about one man.
Do you know what I think England might be doing? I think they might be relying on these big guys just to smash it up, and we're completely underplaying the playmaking abilities of those two wings who are magnificent and Brown. And I think that's kind of the banana skin here.
Well, that is a point that I was going to make, that... Mm. You can talk about the lack of creativity in midfield, but the back three are all superb going forward.
And if they're all fighting in the middle...
Incredibly dangerous, yeah. You create some room for any of those three out wide. Similar with North and Liam Williams.
Yeah.
But you create...
And actually, Cuthbert to a degree. I mean, if he's got space, he's a great athlete.
Oh, yeah, my word. Just imagine the collision between Jamie Roberts and Sam Burgess, potentially. Oh, wow.
bring your large hydrons. We have a collider.
Oh, I mean... Yeah, the gain line battle is massive at the back row. Just think about it. Warburton and Tipperick.
Well, it's going to be Lydia.
Warburton, Faletau, whatever. When they have to run backwards versus an England same back line, when Billy Vunipola has to run backwards and around, he's so much less effective. The gain line is huge, and that's where I think Jamie Roberts, Sam Burgess, Brad Barrett, Scott Williams.
I would back the Welsh...
Owen Farrell, Dan Biggar. That's huge.
I'd back the Welsh three against the English three any day of the week.
Well, let's do that.
But it's not 3-on-4, is it?
No.
Sorry, 3-on-3. It's 3-on-4. Because Big Mike's back.
Big Sexy.
Big Sexy is back.
Oh, let's get the music back for Big Sexy.
You don't seriously think he'll be playing?
I think Gatland, right, when he made this decision, stared at his phone for hours. Like, do you know, when you're about to call an ex-girlfriend, should I, shouldn't I, shall we patch it up? And now he's in. And down that tunnel, chest out, socks up, let's go and play. Mike Phillips is either going to have a stormer or a horrible
game.
He's going to roll back the years, and that's the difference.
Right, there's three of us, and me and Phil are big enough and ugly enough to put our nationality aside, our allegiances aside. Let's rattle through 1 to 15, who we would pick if we could combine the 30 players or the guys that are likely to play for England and Wales on Saturday. If we could pull them together and create 1-15 out of the two. Lou said prop, it's got to be Joe Marler, right?
Two England props, one Welsh hooker. That's right. That's how I was going with that.
I'd go with that as well.
Yeah, I'd go with
that. Gethin's pass is best. 2 years ago, it'd be Gethin, but not at the moment.
Yeah,
I'd go with that. Simple. And Samson Lee in 2 years' time, it could be.
Yeah.
Second row then.
Alan Wynn.
Alan Wynn, if fit.
If fit.
Alan Wynn and coin Courtney. Toss between any of the rest.
I'd have Courtney. I'd have Courtney and Alan Wynn. That
Courtney Laws and Alan Wynn.
Potential in 2 years' time, the Lions second row.
Absolutely.
Right. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's UnitedHealthcare insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, UnitedHealthcare insurance plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about UnitedHealthcare insurance plans at uh1.com.
Here we go.
So I was looking for a picture so I could compare Sam Warburton with Rob Shaw. And I got a really nice one of Sam in his Lions jersey, but I couldn't find any of Rob Shaw.
There just
weren't any to be found.
Well done.
So it has to be Captain Sam.
I'm sure
Sam.
You nicked that off a listener of ours.
I did.
Outrageous. I'll call you on it. So Warburton, I'd be happy to give Warburton the 7.
And Lydiot, I mean, my word, the man's a warrior. Wood is a nice player. I mean, he's a really nice player. And if he was Welsh, I would have him in the squad all day long, but Lydiot's class.
What about you, Phil? What do you think?
I wouldn't have Lydiot. I would be tempted to have Rob Shaw.
Rob Shaw and Warburton.
Rob Shaw and Warburton.
I would never pick Rob Shaw over Lydiot.
At 6.
Never.
I would definitely pick him over Lydiot. I think Lydiot is a bit of a blunt instrument.
Oh, what an instrument.
I would almost be tempted to have to move Faletau to 6 because he's not the destructive ball carrier that either Morgan or Vunipola is.
I don't know. He does a different job. I think for the balance of the Welsh back row, he's perfect. But if you're picking an overall back row, there could be arguments for other guys.
So really, we've picked 2 English props and possibly 2 Welsh back row.
3 back
and
row.
One of each in the second. So it's pretty even up front.
Yeah.
Like we say, whoever is running forward and whoever is running longer to get back behind the gain line, that's where it counts. Scrum half them.
Well,
it would have been Reece Webb.
Let's take our time with this. Let's take our time with this because I believe there is a gentleman who's already done this selection and has something to say about it.
Justin Marshall had something to say, didn't he, Phil?
He did. He was on 5 Live. Well, he had something to say about one of the available scrum halves.
That's what you need to ignite that back line, and there's no way I'd pick that twat Mike Phillips. I've got Jamie George.
Right.
That twit.
It was just the Kiwi accent. It's like Ben Smith.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Twat. Because obviously they have a lot of history together because they played together for so long in the Ospreys, or it felt like so long anyway. And he used to joke about things like... They'd argue over who gets the mirror for the longest. And I mean, rubbish banter, but I think there was a little bit of animosity there.
Absolute banter flying around already.
Banter. Yeah, it's quite entertaining to listen to, I guess.
Anyway, who would you pick?
I'd go for Ben Youngs.
I would have gone for Reece Webb.
Definitely. I would have gone for Reece Webb, but not now.
I'd probably go for Youngs as well.
Big Mike, I'm afraid.
All right. Fly half, I would go... Well, let's assume it's Farrell for now. I would still pick Farrell over Bigger.
No chance.
How many Lions tours has Bigger been on? How many...
That's not... That's
how many Pro
different.
12 or Premiership titles has he been... Has he won? And how many Heineken Cup finals has he been to?
I will tell you this much. He got the golden boots for the Pro 12.
Most accurate kicker.
Correct. Which is... an incredible stat.
Tim, I would go for Farrell.
Farrell's in.
Oh,
centre, then. Here we go. Jamie Roberts
Ridiculous.
At 12. Everyone's picking Jamie Roberts all day, every day at 12.
I would go for Jamie Roberts and Scott Williams.
Yeah, I would go Jamie Roberts and Scott Williams as well. So you've got the English halfbacks, you've got the Welsh centres. Do we then pick, it's North and Watson?
Yeah, I'd go with that.
And then Mike Brown at fullback?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
So you've pretty much, what we're saying there is...
Wales going to win. Sorry. You missed one crucial selection.
Go on.
Gatland or Lancaster, because that's where it's good. That's ultimately what it will boil down to.
Well, on that one, I would go Warren Gatland.
That's their biggest weapon.
I probably would, just based on experience.
All right. Well, yep. How about if this other one? Because this is an important. This is very important as far as I'm concerned. You pick either the English bench or the Welsh bench. You pick the English bench all day.
Really?
All day, baby. All day.
You do definitely now because of the number of Welsh injuries.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think you would anyway.
I think you would anyway.
McAvan, Apola, David Wilson.
Rob Webber.
Well, and that's interesting. Okay.
Launchbury or Parling or Haskell or Morgan.
Well, I think you're slightly overlooking the fact that Tipperick... And also, Ken Owens might not start, which means he'll be coming on. He's hell of a player.
So just in case the starting hooker doesn't start,
because they're probably
your bench
go
will
weird.
Be strong.
Some of the people on Twitter have had their say on this potential England selection. Ross Adnett says, I don't know about Owen Farrell, but England will have possibly the biggest headed midfield combo of all time. It'll be like playing GoldenEye on the M64 with big head mode on.
I don't disagree.
Sam Burgess, aka Cowhead, and Brad Barrett's chin. Imagine if you had the cranium top part of the head of Sam Burgess with the jaw of Brad Barrett. That would be an enormous head. Mr. Limford 99 on Twitter said maybe Stuart Lancaster has had enough culture and wants to go back to sucking the joy out of England. That's his response to the...
Hear.
And then D-Tin Dubai says, surely a great way to tackle Gatland ball. Big hitting defenders against straight runners. Not as if Jamie Roberts has a sidestep.
Yeah, well, this is along the same lines of thinking, isn't it, that all that Barrett can do is tackle. And actually, he's not a bad ball player as such. All that Jamie Roberts can do is run in a straight line. All that Gatland ball is not just running around on the short side and smashing up Jamie Roberts. They'll work something out.
TomTom84 says it stinks of playing not to lose rather than playing to win.
Correct, TomTom, whatever your name is. TomTom84. There you go. That guy knows his stuff.
And Luke Worthington says he's been pleasantly surprised with the tempo Owen Farrell has added when he's come on as the sub in the last couple of games.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we read out tweets.
Don't we have very informed, educated,
we do actually.
Passionate rugby fans listening and at Rugby Podcast to get in touch?
When we read out tweets, we should have the music from Heart Attack or Art Attack as well.
Oh, the gallery music.
Yeah. For next episode, that will definitely happen.
Maybe. It might happen.
It will definitely happen.
There is a chance that it will happen.
Yes.
But not definitely.
Yeah, okay.
Well. Again, this last quarter of an hour discussion will be completely redundant if it turns out being Barrett and Slade.
But I've enjoyed it.
Oh, the other thing from this whole centre debate is that Joseph could be out for...
The Australia game.
Well, he's out for an unknown period of time. We don't actually know what the injury is. It's been described as either a chest, sternum or pectoral injury.
If it's pectoral, that could be him done, you know, because pectorals are notoriously hard to fix.
Sternum could be. If it's... dislocated SC joint, which is one of the many injuries that I've had over my years, I was out for months, 5 months with that.
It might work against Wales. It might be a stroke of genius, but it sure as hell won't work against the Australians. It's just a completely different matchup.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Against the Australians, I would want Slade in there. I want Slade in there anyway.
Joe Enigmatroid on Twitter put it really well, I think, where he says, that will be a brave call on the part of Lancaster and it could be career-defining.
I think it is. I think it's 100%
way,
right.
One way or the other. And you know what? We could be sat here in a few days' time going, that guy made a bold move that not many people recommended him making and it's come off.
And that's why they pay him the big bucks.
And that's why they pay him the big bucks.
Yeah.
Give us your thoughts at Rugby Podcast. And it's a shame, really, after the first week we've had. It's a shame. And I hope the competitiveness continues. But if Japan kind of only managing it for one game and then one half against Scotland is anything to go by, the games between now and Sunday, England-Wales aside, could be very much more one-sided than they have been.
Yeah, like the initial adrenaline has run out.
Yeah.
And now it's time to get a beat down.
A little bit like that. A little bit like that. But I hope not. So at least we've got England-Wales to look forward to.
Are you not really excited about Argentina-Georgia? I'm looking forward to watching that.
Well, on Saturday, South Africa-Samoa.
Yes.
We'll be very interested.
Oh, yeah. Then we'll get a real feel for where South Africa are at.
Yeah, because they've made... Well, this is interesting. So they have announced their squad. They've made 10 changes to the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Including bringing Damien Diolandi, who he said should start inside centre for Jean de Villiers. But Jean de Villiers has moved to outside centre for Jesse Creel.
What?
He's the captain. He's starting.
Oh, my... This is...
We talked about this a few weeks ago.
That is a contentious move.
Yeah.
Jesse Creel, despite having only 3 caps, is definitely 100% nailed on one of the best Springboks ever to play, according to some people in the South African media. He should 100% be playing.
I agree. Two other changes were 2 try scorers, Lou Diega, who was one of the best forwards, and Bismarck Duplessis. They've both been dropped. Etzebeth and Strauss come in for those two.
So who is Etzebeth going to be partnering?
Matfield.
See, Diega and Etzebeth seem to me like a more natural partnership. Yeah. I know it feels like I'm cutting the heart out of this team, but quite frankly, Japan did that last Saturday, so you don't need me to do it.
The other change is Dwayne Vermaelen.
Now we're talking.
Is back, and that from a ball carrier in front. And Willie LaRue has come in at fullback for Kirchner, which is definitely a better change as well.
It is, yeah.
Right. I want to remind you that we have a competition running currently with DHL, who are they're delivering rugby to the world for one thing. And with DHL, we're giving you the chance to be at Wales against Australia, which is going to be a crucial match in Pool A. Whether you're there's a spider.
Are you actually joking?
It just came right down
the
front of my face.
Are you actually joking? There's a spider. The worst thing is, you're joking, there's a spider. So you identified the threat as a spider, and then you continued to be scared.
It came down right in front of my face.
And then suddenly, that's a lion. My life's in genuine danger.
Anyway, moving on. We've got an important competition to talk about, boys. Combat, how did you let your tarantula free in your basement, Jay? Unbelievable, a deadly venom. That was a funnel spider, wasn't it? Anyway.
The lights of the rugby dungeon.
DHL are delivering rugby to the world. And we're giving you the chance to be at Australia v Wales at Twickenham on Saturday the 10th of October. There's a competition open now and until Friday the 2nd of October for you to tell us, because DHL deliver rugby to the world and they are the official logistics partner of the Rugby World Cup. We want you to deliver us your worldwide rugby moment. It can be a story from a tour. It can be someone you met when you were abroad, or anything else that fits under that as a heading. Our favourite one will win. Email your story to tim@eggchasers.com, and our favourite will win Rugby World Cup 2015 tickets and be at Twickenham for England v Wales. Details at dhlrugby.co.uk/eggchasers. So, Nick, I'm just going to give you a few examples. We've had some brilliant entries.
Yes, please.
This is Nick. He says, hi, Tim. Hi, JB. Hi, Phil. I'm an Australian expat living in London and enjoying some amateur rugby for Bell's Ice Park Rugby Club. And very much enjoy the podcast, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I hate it when like Steve Wright on Radio 2 does that. Nick's got in touch. He says, hi, love the show. You're really funny. anyway, moving on.
Agreed.
Anyway, he says, my international story to deliver. See, he's using the lingo like that. DHL or like that.
Oh, good.
Deliver to you begins on a cold, windy night at Eden Park in Auckland. Him and some mates travelled there to support the Wallabies, take on the All Blacks, and they hadn't won there since 87. They were still upbeat, and they fronted up wearing their glorious gold, and it makes you stand out in the crowd with a bunch of drab Kiwis wearing black. As anyone would rightly do, we were boisterous, loudly supporting our team, and the brunt of our attention was directed at Dan Carter. In the midst of my heckling, I was slapped across the head. As I turned around to confront the person, a lady said to me politely, stop talking that way up to my brother.
Or Miss Carter,
yeah,
I guess.
Miss Carter slapped him around the face at Eden Park. Some discussion ensued, at which point he demanded that he got proof of identity from her. She duly presented a driving licence, to which he was still not satisfied and jokingly said Carter is a common name and that doesn't prove anything. She then pulled out her iPhone and scrolled through countless family photos of the Carter family.
These guys sound like hooligans and thugs.
and he says, if Dan's sister is listening to the pod, well, obviously she is. She loves her rugby. Apologies once again.
If she tweets us, right, they might win. to verify the
if
story.
If she can verify the
story. Yeah, if she verifies the story, they may well win.
All right. Was Nick Potter. Kieran Morris emailed tim@eggchasers.com and said that he was 9 years old. He's now 23, but at the old Stradey Park, Wales A ran out. That's who they're going to see. Wales A ran out of the tunnel, and him and his brother looked across the tunnel entrance and looked up at a gigantic figure of a man with a big bushy beard heading towards him. It looked like Chabal. The captain of the France A team kneed him in the face, sweet spilled everywhere, stopped and helped him up, and then he ran towards his seat. So his story was getting kneed in the face.
Was it by Chabal?
By Sebastian Chabal.
If Chabal tweets in and verifies that story, they may win. And I quite like that one.
Yeah. I think you'll like this one. So this one, tim@eggchasers.com, Alex Vanderlip has emailed in. And here's one of the stories that he said. He used to coach juniors at Saracens a few years ago, and with the RFU, they'd managed to organise a number of barbarians to come and do coaching. It was towards the end of the 05-06 season, and the kids were starstruck by some of the players. My elder son still talks about getting scrum half lessons from Justin Marshall, who called Mike Phillips a twat earlier. And more than a few of the mums wanted to take home Thomas Castagnède. But the image that sticks in his mind was his younger son having a problem with his boot. Couldn't get it on. And he looked over to see Rafael Ibanez, the then captain of France, down on one knee, tying up his son's lace. It was a tiny incident, but to me, it sums up the humanity of even the highest echelon of rugby players.
Yeah, I quite like that one.
Alex Vanderlip.
Very good.
His little lad having
they're
Rafael
gonna
Ibanez.
They're going to be furious when they're sitting at home watching Wales versus Australia, because we have sent Rafael Ibanez some tickets.
There you go. There's just a sample of some of the many stories we're getting in, and our favourite one will win some Wales v Australia tickets. So deliver us your worldwide rugby moment. Email it to tim@eggchasers.com. Do it by Friday the 2nd of October, and you could be at Twickers. What's your prediction for England-Wales then, boys?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm all at sea with this. I keep saying that, and I'm sure that's not why people listen. Start of the week, I gave Wales no chance, but I'm now thinking it's going to be Wales by seven.
I think if we're in contention, if we're close, if we're within a score with 60 minutes on the clock, we will win.
Because of the bench.
Because of the bench. And that's why I'm saying England by six. Wales will get a losing bonus point.
I'm normally very pessimistic about this fixture, but it does rely more on Wales's injuries than England's superior play or anything like that. But I am also slightly optimistic about this, so I'd say England by less than a score.
Do you know if they just threw in Slade? If they just said, right, Barrett stays, Slade's in, Ford's in, same team.
Yeah.
Would you not be just... I think everyone in England would be like, this is nailed on.
I
there's just too many questions now.
I would be more confident.
I would be as well.
But we're not party to all the information that Stuart Lancaster is.
But we are party to information about
politics,
Stuart Lancaster.
Though, look at what a diplomat he is. The other games, as we've talked about, New Zealand, Namibia, well, that'll be one-way traffic. Argentina, Georgia, that'll be scrum porn.
Scrum.
That's gonna be very scrum. Word. That's, oh, wow.
Where's that going to be played? Do we know?
Stadium.
Yeah, because I think King's Home was far too small a stadium today for...
It's at King's Home.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
It sounds like a kind of King's Home style.
South Africa, Samoa is at Villa Park in Birmingham.
Oh, nice.
And I see South Africa bouncing back and putting in a performance there.
Yes, it won't be easy, but I think they will do as well. I think it'll be close, but yeah. South Africa by 10.
Mm-hmm. It's Italy, Canada at Ellen Road in Leeds.
Two of the most disappointing teams of the tournament so far.
Yeah. Italy... By not
Italy
very many.
Italy by
12.
Something like that. On to Sunday, and you've got Australia, Uruguay. Were kind of, if you want to sleep in and not bother watching that one at Villa Park, that would be my advice.
Yep, agreed.
Scotland v United States. Scotland will continue. That's at Elland Road in Leeds again.
Yep.
And Ireland, Romania. Wembley Stadium.
That's not a great one either, is it?
No.
Yeah, that Sunday's a little bit underwhelming.
If you had to give up a day for the family or to do something, Sunday is the day to do it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
I am giving up the day because on.
Oh yeah, you're not here on Sunday, are you?
On Sunday, I'm camping in the Omani Desert.
Oh wow.
In the Middle East.
Yeah, rather you than me, mate.
Voluntarily, this isn't a punishment.
No. He's joined ISIS. When are you back?
Wednesday.
So will you be podding on Sunday?
This Sunday coming?
Yeah.
No, I think the Skype connection won't be good enough based on my experience.
Right, so we need an extra podcaster if anyone's interested.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday?
That is either going to be, right, if it's just the two of us, without Phil to do his brilliant middleman thing... Oh. And bridge the gap. This after England Wales, just me and JB on opposite sides of the table. This could be explosive.
Actually, I do have news on Sunday. Bryn Williams is with us.
Very nice.
And on Wednesday, not confirmed, but we might have an extra podcaster. We don't know yet.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll keep that secret.
I've seen some messages flying about that. If it's who you want, JB, that would be very interesting.
Will it involve a dead pig?
It should. Well, all the best nights out do. So.
Good. Right, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, subscribe on iTunes, download the Acast app, listen to us there, tell your mates, we love rugby, you love rugby, and we'll have more rugby to talk about next time. Good work, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit.
That's what you need to ignite that backline. And there's no way I'd pick that twat, Mike Phillips.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.